great joy to worship the Holy Trinity with you this morning. I don't know about those of you who are also out in our outreach and evangelism effort yesterday, but I am still warm. I'm still trying to recover from standing out in the heat and the sun all day. But it was such a joy and so appropriate for us to be engaged in as a mission on this Sunday of the Samaritan woman. This Sunday when we focus so strongly on Saint Photini, the light giver, who herself came to holy illumination, who evangelized her people and brought them to the true faith. And this Sunday really poses to us one very poignant question. What are you thirsting for? What are you thirsting for? Many people today speak about their thirst for knowledge or enlightenment, or more often some vague word like spirituality. Often they want something to legitimize their own thinking, their own insanity. Whatever they've cobbled together into some kind of self-styled religion, even if they're horrified to call it that. Most people want to call themselves spiritual, but not religious today. We see an increasing emphasis in Western culture on this kind of personal spirituality, designer religion, something made to suit the particular wants and whims of the individual or the culture, while avoiding accountability, while avoiding repentance and growth in the likeness of Christ, the only changeless one, the way and the truth and the life, the living water, Jesus Christ. We see this in escapism, in the increasing popularity of adopting or incorporating into one's spiritual path aspects of Buddhism, or vague concepts of Eastern mysticism, or escaping reality through meditation separated from Christ rather than focus and contemplation on Christ. And I believe that many, if not most, people today are really thirsting. And this is the thing that should really grip us if we are people of love, if we are people of Christ. That these people out there are hungry, they are thirsty, they are in want. They are like Photini at the well. They come to drink, but they know that that drink can't satisfy them. That which they've filled their empty lives with cannot give them eternal purpose. It cannot give them hope. It cannot free them from the nihilism that surrounds all of us. And so, many of the people, even out there today that we think are so lost, are in reality looking for the truth. But many of them are very, very confused. We're a fast food culture that's grown accustomed to having it my way and buying into the arguments of the culture without submitting them to the church, that we can come to know the faith once received, the true life that is in Christ that he has revealed to us. The church isn't here to give you or me what we want. The church is here to give you and I what we need. What is the timeless truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is the freeing message of salvation from our passions, from our willfulness, from our stubbornness, from our egos, from all of the things that would otherwise separate us from that deified life and joy that Christ desires to give us in his kingdom, the true enlightenment that Christ God promises us. Of course, this is the problem with our sin. We want it our way, not God's way. My will be done rather than thy will be done. But then we wonder why we're not fulfilled. Why we're still stuck. Why we become so reliant on those temporary things that we surround ourselves with in this culture so that we can escape. so that we can escape reality, but in no way satisfy our thirst for God, that God himself planted in us, that God has given us, that we might know him, that we might be fulfilled, that we might become the sons and daughters of God that he's called us to be. Why is this the case? Jesus reminds us that the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. But the calling is for everyone. God desires for all to come to salvation. God desires and loves everyone, and desires more than anything for all of us to find healing in him from our sin sickness, from our submission to the life that is in him and his church. Many are looking for the way of Christ, of Christianity, on their own terms. And brothers and sisters, it's tempting. It's tempting to accommodate things and decide for ourselves what we will give and take. But that's not Christianity. That is something else. But it is not Christianity. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. The way is narrow because it is one. It is one way because Christ is one. Christ proclaims that this is the only way of ultimate enlightenment. The way that leads us further up and further in the life that he is in his church. We find in him a single path, not a multitude of choices which somehow equal the same thing. Christ's life is the way to freedom from our pride, from all that we fear, from all of our struggles with ego. As Christians, we don't gain peace through escapism, through pretending that what is really troubling us, painful, what is really causing us so much grief is not really there. Our struggles, our sins follow us. They continue to haunt us. They continue to harm us and others. Instead, we gain peace by bringing Christ into the midst of our struggles, into the midst of our passions, into the midst of our struggle for healing. And it is that. And I'm using those words intentionally because they are the truth of our reality, that we struggle, and that without the cross, without that struggle, there is no growth, and there is no freedom, and there is no deification. Because that's what we have to do to get outside of ourselves and cling to Christ, to cling to the life that he alone is. God never leaves us alone. Through our participation in the church, we learn to give these things over to Christ, to lay them at the foot of the cross through confession, so that he can transfigure them, so that he can make it into a means through which we cling to him and trust in him and keep our focus on him and unite ourselves with him in communion with him. And this, brothers and sisters, is what brings us true enlightenment. As much as we allow him to, healing, like relationship, can never be forced if it's going to be real. In today's gospel, Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well. She's lost, she's confused, just as many are in our world today. She's had five husbands, and the man that she's living with now is not her husband. She's abandoned the faith of her fathers. She's embraced a licentious life, and all to no avail. She still can't escape her reality. What troubles her? Her thirst is still there. She's still unfulfilled. She's still suffering. She's still in the dark, lost and confused. And Christ proclaims to her that he is the Messiah. He is the long-awaited one. He is God incarnate, life itself interjected into our otherwise sad human existence. God incarnate has come to her, the living water, the one who created the water, the one who gives water that springs up for life everlasting. He proclaims freedom to her. not escape, but reality itself in Him, in the joy of the life in Him, in fulfillment, in the light, in forgiveness, a new opportunity, a new chance, transfiguration, redemption. Jesus says to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. This water of the well. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. Desiring this water, desiring true life, eternal life, she repents of her sins. She turns from them and finds him who is life itself. The apostles rightly name her Photini, the enlightened one. Her deeds are all revealed. Nothing more is concealed. Her licentious life, her past husbands, whatever has happened, it's all laid bare. But now no longer does she walk in darkness or in shame. For now she has found the joy and freedom of life with God through repentance. Not only does Photini herself turn to the light, repenting, she also brings her people to the knowledge and love of God. This woman that was an outcast, this woman who is licentious, this woman whom everyone knew and dismissed, has now become an enlightener, has now become an evangelist because of who she is in Christ, who she was meant to be all along, who you and I are meant to be in Christ all along. Photini becomes one of the great evangelists of the church, helping others to find the same living water. And it's exactly that love for God found in her new life in Him that motivates her in that missionary zeal. And this is a lesson for us as well. Christ tells us today, the fields are white for the harvest. Where is our love for the lost? That's what Christ God gives us. As we come to know Him more and more, He fills us with His love. Not just for those whom we're comfortable with, not those just who are like us, but every single human being that you and I see, we see the image of God in them. We see them as struggling, suffering individuals, burdened by sin, by this world, but capable of being freed, just like Photini, just like you and I, to embrace that fullness of the life and love that Jesus Christ is, that He desires to give us, and have us in turn impart to others around us as well. There are no temporary fast food solutions to the problems of our egos, our pride, our struggles with sin, and the sickness of our souls. There just isn't. But Christ God offers us not a way of escape, not of pretending that these problems don't exist, of the power of positive thinking as it's known today. Instead, He offers us the opportunity for true healing, not just treatment of the symptoms, true healing from within, the opportunity to grow, to overcome them step by step, struggle by struggle, cross by cross, by embracing the reality of who He is and who you and I are called to be. As we grow in the knowledge and love of God, we learn the way of Christ. We learn that narrow way, the only way to true enlightenment. And this path is struggle that leads to our enlightenment. Our healing is found in the church that Christ Himself founded through our repentance of our old way, and embracing the truth and life and light of Christ so that you and I may never thirst again. Christ says to us today that if we follow Him, if we follow His way, Not the way that we want. Not what we think we know we want. But the way of patience. The way of godly submission. The way of humility. The way of conforming ourselves to the life that He shows us through His church to be, and exemplified in the lives of countless saints around us who have gone before us, like Photini, then we will have our thirst sated too. Examine your life. What are you thirsting for? Is there anything holding you back from the Lord, from true enlightenment, from the fullness of life in Christ that He beckons us to receive? What struggle with sin, with anger, lust, pride, or ego is standing in your way? Nothing is too great for God. Nothing. Each of us is given the opportunity today to follow the lead of Saint Photini. She stepped out from the shadows of the darkness of her sins, of her escapism, to embrace the spiritual rebirth of life with Christ, with her God, with her author of her life. And so, with her, you and I too can thirst for Christ and drink from the water that Christ alone offers, His way, the water that springs up inside us to healing and eternal life. May it be so. Christ is risen.
Indeed, He is risen.
You have made confession in the past month, have prepared through prayer and fasting this morning to receive the holy gifts, then please come forward at the appropriate time.